You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, welcome back to Waveform, episode 5 of 2020. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez Brownlee.
And I'm Andrew Manganelli.
And we got a lot of stuff going on. There's been some quiet weeks. There's been some busy weeks. This is one of the busy ones, I'd say.
Yeah, this is when we said February is going to run. We started running.
It started to run. Yeah. So last week, we spent the week in San Francisco for Samsung's Unpacked event, and we saw a bunch of new Samsung phones there. We saw the folding phone, the Galaxy Z Flip. We saw the S20, S20 Plus, S20 Ultra. And we also had the Bill Gates interview go up, and there's just a whole lot of other stuff in between. Mobile World Congress got canceled. There's a lot happening. So why don't we just go ahead and start off with the past little bit of content and then talk about all the stuff that's happened.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. I think it's funny also, like, in terms of the past content, we went out to San Francisco for Samsung, and we were talking about, like, there are way more people we know out here than at, like, CES to us all the tech, but it's also, like, we get to see everybody, and that's dwindled. And then we go to Samsung, and like literally every single YouTuber we wanted to see was out there.
It's for sure true. I've met a lot of people for the first time. The first time I ever met another tech YouTuber was when I met Austin at a Samsung event.
And wait, was that in New York?
It was in New York.
Is that picture of you guys?
That is that
Empire
old
State
picture.
Building?
Yes. Yeah, that is. That's, and I think there was Lamar Wilson and Ryan Bates and maybe one or two other people, but that's the first time I ever met tech people. And I would say this year, I saw more tech friends in that one day of the Samsung event than I did at all of CES this year.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
It's definitely becoming where pretty much everyone goes. And maybe your sub box was a reflection of that, because hey, about 60 videos that all drop at the same time when Samsung has a new phone. But I don't hate that strategy. Good job, Samsung.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go back a little bit further. We can start with the Bill Gates interview, because we shot that in January. We went out and shot with him. Which was, so he does his annual letter that we talk about for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We went out and we talked to him a little bit more tech, a little more talking about swinging for the fences in 2020. actually, one of the funny things that came up, I thought it was a fun little interview. We've gotten more comfortable just chatting with him. And he mentioned at one point that he got a Porsche Taycan.
And I saw your face light up.
My eyes lit up when he said that. I was like, oh, we got to talk about this. And I didn't really have that. I didn't want to go too deep on it, because we were covering a broad amount of subjects. So it's not like an electric car video or anything like that. But I was like, yeah, electric cars are pretty solid now. Like, you're driving one. That's pretty sweet. It was his first EV. And I think my follow-up question was something about, like, why don't we all just go EV once the price gets low enough? And I think his answer was something along the lines of, well, you know, the range it's not quite matching gas
cars. There's
still
range anxiety. It's a thing.
And that's perfectly fine to say. I mean, not everyone's near a charger. But some people watched that and got, like, really upset that he didn't mention Tesla again. And he's given all the props in the world to Tesla. Every time we bring it up, he brings up Tesla voluntarily. But because he got a Taycan, people felt the need to tweet, like, at Elon, and Elon eventually responded. And now there's articles out about how Elon and Bill Gates have beef, and I think we should just relax on that.
Yeah, it really sucks, like, going and making a fun video and then having it get turned into, like, some fake beef.
I mean, it's still a fun, video, but, like, the headlines, maybe I still have it pulled up. There is a headline literally, it's not in my inbox anymore, but about just how, like, Elon Musk took swipes at Bill Gates. Like, that's not what's happening, guys. It's just somebody tweeted at him and he responded. Actually, I'll pull up the tweet right now. So someone tweeted, I wonder why Bill Gates decided to go with a Taycan instead of a Tesla. This tweet has 355 replies, because people are all talking about, why didn't Bill Gates get a Tesla? And for the record, I don't think you have to buy a product just because it's good. I think you get what you like. And if Bill Gates bought a Taycan, that doesn't mean he doesn't like Teslas. You can still like Teslas. Anyway, and then they followed up with, I'm disappointed Bill mentioned range anxiety. you know, Teslas have plenty of range. Why didn't he get a Tesla? Elon, what do you think about this? Basically tagged Elon in the tweet.
Nice.
And Elon just says, my conversations with Gates have been underwhelming, to be honest. And then he says, can you jump over a chair, though? And Elon says, true, that was pretty impressive. So that's that's basically all that happened. So if you were wondering why you're seeing all sorts of Elon versus Bill in the news, you can pretty much skip it, because that's all that happened is somebody mad.
No boxing matches coming up soon. I don't think. Yeah, not quite that kind of beef.
Yeah. But so. I know it was a fun video. I'm glad we got to talk again. And I'm feeling like swinging for the fences in 2020.
Yeah,
I'm
inspired. We'll link that the interview in the show notes. Give it a listen. Turn on at work or something. Like it's super interesting, and it's always fun to just see what they have up their sleeves and what they're working on every year, because the foundation is incredible, and it just listening to it makes you feel like you want to go out and do something.
Yeah. Another nugget of that is I put the date of when we shot that. This was January 23rd that we shot that in there. And we talked about inboxes and email for a second, where he was just starting to get email about the coronavirus.
I think he said like that morning.
Yeah. So that was like fresh on his mind. And by the time that video went live, I was able to edit in the fact that he'd already pledged $100 million towards fighting it.
Yeah.
So the dude moves quick. Not going to lie.
Very quick. Yeah.
Moves quick. So good on him.
All right. I think before we're going to jump into some Samsung stuff, because we have a lot to talk about with Samsung, we have some kind of fun news. If you've been following us at all, I hate calling things merch. I think YouTube culture has just kind of ruined the word merch for me, even though it's just a shorter version of merchandise. It's like, it shouldn't be, but then you have the Paul brothers and buy that merch. And then you have H3 memeing it and everything. But anyways, we sell merchandise. We make a lot of shirts. We think we have some really cool designs. It seems like everybody's liked them. We work with a company called Cotton Bureau, who has been like incredible.
They're the ones responsible for the high quality shirts.
Yeah. If you've enjoyed anything we've put out, it's because of Cotton Bureau. Marquez and I have ideas every once in a while, but the reason any of that gets onto a shirt, gets designed, half of them, like Jay has just designed himself. He doesn't work there anymore, but like Nate and Jay have been incredible to work with. It's been fun. And they've just been a great company, but they do things a little differently since they're smaller. We've had, I wouldn't call them complaints, but I just don't think people understand how the website works exactly.
Well, I can break it down.
Yeah,
it's like whenever you see a YouTuber like merch strategy, it's either you have a store, which everyone knows how a store works. Mm-hmm. You just go to the store, buy what you want, hit buy, and it ships to you the next day. Or they will do something like a limited edition campaign, which I have done in the past with companies like Teespring long time ago, where like, you have 2 weeks and we have a design and we're just going to let that go on sale for 2 weeks. And once it's over, you can't get it again. It's really exciting and really limited edition. And then once the 2 weeks is over, they know exactly how many to print. They print them, then they ship them. Mm-hmm. So what we've been doing with Cotton Bureau is that second method, not just because it's a little bit easier on inventory to not have to hold tons and tons of stuff, but just because that's what made sense at the time. But I think the downside to that is now I can only share merch or share links to buy merch when we are doing an active campaign.
Yeah.
So it's active or it's inactive. And most of the time it's inactive, which is kind of a bummer. Our news is basically that now we have a fully active, always online store for a couple of those items.
For a couple of them, yeah.
The core logo tee and maybe one or two others. If you go on, you can check on the site and see which ones we're offering. But they will be available all the time, so I can plug them at any time. I can wear them at any time.
Yeah, and you guys can get them at any time. That's another thing. It's like a bummer if you're like, oh, t-shirts are available, and then you come in after the campaign. Like I said, there was a bunch of pros to doing it that way, but this is kind of us dipping our feet in the water of doing always available now. We're really excited for it. There's a couple little differences with it. Most of them are pros. There's one con, which is, we can't offer the hem tag.
Oh yeah, the little hem tag at the bottom is gone.
So I'm sorry if like you're really, really dying for the hem tag on Core Logo. I think the other two we're offering is Matte Black Everything and the Waveform.
Oh, perfect.
The Waveform. Yeah.
Hey, here we are.
So kind of like our main staples of like the channel. So all of those will be available. Same kind of t-shirt, super comfortable, tri-blend. The printing is a little different in the process, but obviously, we wanted to test that, so they sent us a bunch of samples. We've been wearing them.
I can't tell the difference. Yeah, so that's
I literally can't tell the difference. And then the benefit also is, because of on-demand, you actually can get tank tops and long-sleeve t-shirts and sweatshirts and stuff like that and it's always available. You don't have to wait till the end of the campaign before it ships and everything. So you should get it quicker too. We'll still be doing campaigns for kind of our like one-off special designs. We actually
There's still going to be limited edition campaigns. Like maybe we'll try to bring more of them depending on how, you know, exciting or popular mm-hmm. they are into the always on demand section.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
For right now, we're still going to do, what is it, every other month?
Yeah, I think March is going to start our first campaign and then every other month after that.
Cool.
So yeah, pretty much this is us testing the water. Let us know how you like it. Maybe some more things will come into always on, but we just want to, test everything. We're really, really, we think quality is important and we don't want to sacrifice any of that. So that's why we're doing this very slowly. And we honestly think Cotton Bureau is the best way to do that.
Yeah.
So yeah,
sweet.
We're pretty
so
excited about
sale.
That. Yeah.
All right. So I guess let's go right into Samsung, because that's basically most of what's been happening in the tech world.
It is.
I will inject a little bit of, hey, Mobile World Congress did get canceled. So a lot of the stuff that was going to be exciting in the mobile tech world in this like upcoming weekend is now sort of scattered. And there's some embargoes that are confusingly being shuffled and some events that are no longer being held when they were supposed to. So that's still up in the air.
It's funny that I didn't think about it in that sense. I thought of it as like, oh, wow, Mobile Congress is canceled. That kind of stinks. But like, how great is that for Samsung in this way? If we just had this really big, pretty successful event, and now anything that was going to take any of our momentum is,
I mean, I think they are
scrambling right now.
Yeah, they already were ahead of Mobile World Congress mm-hmm. on purpose. They're very aware of how big that show is. But yeah, now there is a ton of events that were going to happen at Mobile World Congress and a bunch of embargoes, obviously, that were going to lift at that time that are mm-hmm. now a little bit more confusing. Maybe there'll be some separate events by those companies. We'll see. But that is the sort of pre-news to, yes, Samsung did come out and have their Unpacked event in California. Sunny, beautiful, warm weather. Love that. And it was in San Francisco. And they dropped 4 new phones.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's just do regular S20 because we have some fun stuff to talk about.
Okay.
This is the flip later.
Yeah. All right. So S20. So here's the four phones. Galaxy S20. Galaxy S20 Plus, Galaxy S20 Ultra, mm-hmm. the thick boy, and Galaxy Z Flip. So the Galaxy S20 and S20 Plus, those are, even though they skipped a bunch of numbers, they're basically the successor to the S10 and S10 Plus. Mm-hmm. And they're solid. I mean, they start at $999, and they are along the same lines, the same like one small phone, one big phone, although they're both pretty big.
Yeah.
There's a triple camera on the S20 and a quad camera, basically an additional depth sensor on the S20 Plus. Couple other minor differences like the bigger battery, the millimeter wave 5G support. But again, it's mainly just you're getting a bigger phone in the S20 Plus and a smaller, air quotes, smaller phone in the S20.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting. Like we talked about right around Smartphone Awards on how the S10 and the S10 Plus may have been our like biggest snub and it's because they come out this early and like right now we're in full on Samsung hype. But by the end of the year, I don't know why, but 7 months from now seems so long.
It's that, and also it's because the Note always comes out after, and it's always what I still personally think of as Samsung's biggest, best phone. But right now, that might not actually be true because S20 Ultra is a gigantic, it's the biggest, it's bigger than any Note.
Yeah.
So it's the biggest flagship they've ever made, and I can't imagine a Note being bigger than this year.
Yeah, so I think we should just talk about this, the S20 Ultra, because I think it's the most interesting, even though the price tag is insane. Like this, to me, feels like this is Samsung's phone of the Samsung's phone of the year. I'm sure something will happen with the Note, but like this to me is pretty excited. I'm kind of excited about this phone.
Yeah,
okay. Not about the price tag, but I'm pretty excited about this phone.
Well, so the price tag is probably where most people start.
It's like starting at like 14, right?
$1,400. But like, here, I'm gonna hand it to you.
I don't think I've held this before.
What do you think? Just holding it for the first time. It's a big phone. That's like the number one thing.
It is gigantic, and that camera bump is.
It's real.
Big.
So the camera is the number one focus of the entire lineup, I think, S20, S20 Plus, and S20 Ultra. But also you're going to have that 120 hertz display on all of these too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does knock it down to 1080p when it goes up to that.
Something they just, you know, maybe forgot to mention in the
They were never going to mention that.
We were both looking at each other like, are they going to say it? Are they going to say it? They're probably not going to mention anything.
But, you know, how many people are actually going to notice? Out the box, by the way, I unboxed it today. The S20 Ultra, and I'm sure probably the others too, came out the box at 1080p 60 hertz.
Wait. Okay. I heard you say earlier that it was at 60 hertz. I missed that it was at 1080. Yeah. So that's like...
So as far as like out the box experience for people, it's going to feel, you know, similar to another, you know, previous Samsung phone, but it's going to have a 5,000 milliamp hour battery. So, you know, big 6.9 inch OLED display. It's a big, bright, power sucking screen. But if it's only running at 1080, 60 hertz, I have a feeling the battery life is being optimized at that state. But first thing I did was switch it to 120 hertz, which is, you know, no longer lets me bump up to 1440p. But now we're really going to see what this battery is about, because that's my biggest question is, will it last?
Yeah. So I was thinking, like, when we first heard this news about 120 hertz at 1080, I was wondering if what the 1440 would be at, if it was 60 or not. And then I think I asked you a question that I found really interesting. Your answer is, would you rather have 1080, 120 hertz or 1440, 90 hertz? So you're both getting faster refresh rate with it. But then as somebody who I know is very into resolution, I feel like you're changing a little bit.
I said, and I think I will still say, I would rather have 120 hertz, 1080. And that's because I don't really visually perceive that much of a difference between 1080 and 1440.
Okay.
But to my eye, I do still feel and notice a 90 to 120 difference. Okay. And I don't think that's everybody. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Like if you ask me 120 hertz, 1080, or 60 hertz 4K, I would take 120 because that's much more noticeable to everyone. But yeah, I think the 90 to 120 difference is just barely enough for me to go, yeah, it feels better than 90. I've used the OnePlus 7T Pro for a couple months now, actually, and that's been 90 and that's been great, but I could tell the difference. So I'm pretty pumped about that. Honestly, the story with the S20 Ultra is the numbers. And I think the review is going to be trying to decipher how many of these numbers matter. The number we've just talked about is 120 hertz and 5,000 milliamp hours. Those are two huge numbers. What do they look like? The other numbers are 108 megapixels and 100x zoom. And I guess another number would be 45 watt fast charging. But that's, I mean, that's pretty objective. That's cool. Just going to charge faster. But what do you think of these cameras? Are you a Zoom guy?
We've talked about previously how we would like to see better zooms in this.
Yeah,
I wasn't talking about 100 times zooms, I can tell you that. I do think the overall, at the event, they showed a lot of like samples of stuff. They had
some demos.
It was like they were up over the bridge and they were zooming in on things. And generally, the consensus seemed to be that it looked really bad, but I don't think people were giving it enough credit. Like, this is a phone that's zooming in 100 times.
Okay, here's my, because I know there's a lot of different reactions to 100X. Here's my stance on it as of right now, and this is me on day one using it. And I think I tweeted this. No one needs to use 100X all the time. The phone happens to be capable of going to 100X, but that just means it's going to be that much better at 20X and 30X. So yeah, while we're all going to rag on, what do you mean 100X? You don't need that. That's crazy. And I kind of agree, like, whatever. You don't actually have to go to 100X. But that's like saying, why does this car have 1,000 horsepower if you never go above 60 miles an hour on the road? Well, you get to 60 that much faster, and it's going to be that much better in the range that you actually use it. So, you know, people tweeting at me about, like, their kids' concerts and being in the back row trying to capture, you know, a graduation or something like that. All these things will be better on a phone that has better zoom, even if you're not going to 100.
Yeah, I see it as like, I do think there are maybe not people who are going to use 100 all the time, but I don't think zooms in regular phones right now that are only going 5 or 10 times digital are good at all.
Yeah.
So if you're getting that kind of quality out of 100X, to me, I never am fully zooming in on a phone unless it's like a, I want to prove to somebody this is what I saw kind of thing. I'm not like, I saw, you know, there was a fox like out in the woods or something, and I want to show Claire that I saw a fox in the woods. So it's like, what were you hoping?
I was hoping it would be some creepy story about like,
oh no,
somebody across the airport. That's
oh yeah, yeah. Weird. Okay, well, let's use that. Let's say Will Smith is across the airport, and I don't want to come up to him and take a picture. So I want to like be like, Claire, look, Will Smith's at the airport. Mm-hmm. To me, that 100x is going to let me prove that easier rather than like, I'm never showing that, like going to frame that picture on my wall or something. I don't care about the quality. Yeah. I just want to be like, hey, I was here and my phone in my pocket could show something that was that far away.
Yeah.
And then on the other, the flip side of it, like you said, 20x on that, which is still going to be better than almost every other phone out there,
yeah,
is going to look way nicer because
here's a somewhat interesting potential downside.
Okay.
So the S20 and S20 Plus have the regular camera, the ultra wide, and I believe it's a 3x zoom.
Uh-huh.
And then this S20 Ultra skips to 5x on the actual periscope lens.
Okay.
Which means the typical range where I think most people just want to punch in to zoom on something, mm-hmm. which is around 3x, is just going to be digital zoom on digital. The main camera
okay.
instead of an actual optical zoom. So once you get to 5x, then you're on the periscope lens and you're using that better quality again. But your quick little 2 to 3, 3.5x zoom just in theory got a little bit worse if it's just digital zoom. That's something to think about.
It is to think about, but I'm trying to think of when I take pictures. I feel like I will never zoom in unless I really want to zoom in.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's usually like, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking of this as the time I went out to a national park with just my phone and thinking of I was either zoomed all the way out or I was close enough to something yeah. where I didn't need to zoom or I was just so far away that the picture
wildlife.
Was just completely useless because it was just too even full zoomed in the thing. I was still too far away. So yeah.
Yeah. I say this as someone who like, pretty much never uses the zoom on any yeah. of my phones. Like we've had 2x in all these phones before and I pretty much never use it
uh-huh.
or I'll like take a photo at 2x and be like, eh, that's not as good. And then yeah. I'll take it at the main camera. So I am not a big zoomer, but yeah, these numbers are going to be interesting to play with just to see how well they translate.
Yeah. So I'm pretty pumped for zoom.
Yeah.
You not so much. But
yeah. But you know, cool. 100x, 108 megapixels, 5,000 milliamp hours, 12 to 16 gigs of RAM, 512 gigs of storage, 120 hertz, 1440p, blah, 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 blah. Numbers,
yeah.
numbers, numbers.
Mm-hmm.
This is a phone we got to test to use, and that's exactly what we're starting to do.
I also really like the color, one that you have. What is it
titanium,
actually called?
Okay. Cosmic gray is the color.
It looks like, it's really funny because we talked about this out in, I think it was LA or something a little while ago, where there's this new like color coming out with a lot of cars that it's not matte, but it's definitely like more towards satin.
Oh, you're talking about like the Nardo gray, like the
is that
the
what it's
titanium sort
of? I know
of
Toyota does look. It. I think Jeep does it. I forget who else. I also want to say Chrysler may have done it, but either way, it's just like it kind of looks flat, but it is glossy because it's.
I've also seen wraps that color.
Yeah. This kind of has that like. Faded, almost satin-looking gray, except that there's 8,000 fingerprints on it right now.
But I think it's the best-looking one, though.
Still. I think it's a great color. I don't. Samsung goes a little too overboard for me on some colors, and I think this is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah,
because well, that's super important in a $1,400 phone.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna spend that much on a phone, you want to show it off a little bit.
Nice. Yeah.
So yeah.
All right. Cool. That's right. A fun rant on S20
yeah,
Ultra.
Yeah. That's S20 Ultra. Stay tuned for the full review because obviously that's gonna be coming. I unboxed it on Instagram Live instead of a YouTube video, but if you want to check that out, it'll be up for 24 hours or something. Mm-hmm. And stay tuned for the full review. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Talk about flippies. Talk about flips. Support for Waveform comes from Coda. So are you having trouble getting your remote team organized and on the same page? Or for that matter, is your own desktop looking a little chaotic with a lot of tools and tabs? If any of that sounds familiar, then you may be interested in Coda. So Coda is an all-in-one collaborative workspace designed to bring teams and tools together for a more organized workday. So Coda blends the flexibility of docs, the structure of spreadsheets, and the power of applications, and the intelligence of AI to make work, well, less work. So with Coda's extensive planning capabilities, you can stay aligned by managing your planning cycles in one location while setting and measuring objectives for key results with full visibility across teams. Plus, you can access hundreds of templates and get inspired by others in Coda's gallery. So if you want a platform that empowers your team to collaborate effectively and focus on shared goals, you can get started with Coda today for free. So you can head over to coda.io/wave. That's coda.io/wave to get started for free. So coda.io/wave.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed, on YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, welcome back. We're going to talk flippy floppies. We're talking flipping, folding phones. So we had the last phone, actually technically the first phone Samsung showed off at their Unpacked event. Galaxy Z Flip. Mm-hmm. And naturally, we're all comparing it to the Moto Razr that came out just a little bit before it.
Very similar times.
But there are some other things to talk about with the Z Flip, just because they've made a bunch of different design decisions and choices with this phone that I think in almost every single way make it a better phone than the Razr. But there's still a big reason why I prefer the Razr.
Really?
Not entirely as a phone, but just one big thing about it. So I guess we could go into like the whole folding foam thing in general.
Okay.
So just to talk about the phone, it's a clamshell design. It's a vertical folding phone. It has a very nice, satisfying, you know, it doesn't slam shut the way the original folding phones or flip phones did in the day. but it does have a little bit more hinge weight, so you can open it up and place it down halfway. There's some interesting software features to take advantage of that. The fingerprint reader is on the side instead of the chin. And it's overall a more clean design. Samsung insists they're using folding glass under the screen, and I've talked about that a bit in my Z Flip video, but as we all know, the controversy around like what difference does that make if it's still a plastic screen protector, that's hot on people's minds right now. Mm-hmm. I honestly feel the difference because it's more firm and doesn't move when I press it. But there still is a crease, and there still is the possibility of damaging it if you like cut a nail in it or something. So it's not perfect, obviously.
No, not at all.
But it is, I think, the most polished, significantly better folding phone. The hinge itself is like zero gap. There's apparently brushes.
Yeah, the
on
brushes
each side.
On the inside seemed like a really good idea.
That's going to keep debris out, which is obviously something they learned from the original Galaxy Fold.
Yeah, for sure.
The cameras are now flagship quality. I've been testing them. They look like S10 photos from the main camera. I was impressed with the low light, actually. So a lot of good things about it. It happens to be the biggest fingerprint magnet in a long time. It's a mirror purple color, but overall, really nice. But as I've mentioned in my video, it has this tiny 1-inch OLED screen on the front.
Yeah.
Technically, it lets you see your notifications, and that's about it. It doesn't really let you interact with anything. But the Razr that has all kinds of other compromises and all kinds of other problems with the form factor and the creaky hinge and the plastic screen and the durability issues, it has a much bigger outside screen and lets you unlock and swipe through, read your notifications, and actually interact with them in a way that Samsung's doesn't.
Yeah.
And I found that this actually makes a really big difference to me. I actually look through and like clear out notifications, mark things as archived, and like if a phone call is coming, I can see who's calling me much faster. Like it's just, I wish it had that outside screen.
It's better, yeah. It's funny because the original Samsung Fold also had like an outside screen that you could do some things with, and you never had to make the full commitment of
opening
a full-size phone and doing all that, which I think made it nice for some people because they were in aspects of their day where they didn't want to get sucked into being all the way on their phone. They just wanted to check something.
Yeah, and it was interesting to me. I was just stuck in a conversation downstairs, and I just wanted to like glance at the time real quick. And I don't know how it comes off because like I have a watch, but I like take my phone out my pocket, and like typically with a phone, you just like hit the power button real quick, check the time, put it back. But this time I took the Fold out of my pocket and I just glanced at it like, and I just saw the time real quick. I just hit the button, boom, there's the time. And I don't know if the person realized that I didn't open the phone and that I could have opened it, but I didn't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it's another layer of using this phone is you have to open it every single time to use it instead of like the outside versus inside thing. I don't know, something new we have to think about with folding phones.
Yeah, but like, I think we're gonna do a kind of comparison video on it eventually?
Okay. Yeah, I'm planning, and I think maybe by the time this is live, maybe a little after, we're gonna have a Z Flip versus Razer video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a review yet. This is my Razer review unit that I have to give back, and I should definitely send it back now. So the one that I actually bought gets here a little bit later. I'll use that more and then I'll review it. But like, there's just so many things to think about now that we have multiple folding phones.
Yeah.
That are like somewhat feasible. I honestly still don't think anyone should buy any of these.
Yeah.
But now that they're actually sort of focusing on quality and making improvements, we finally have like a real comparison to make.
Yeah. And I find it intriguing that you say you don't think anyone should buy this, because I think what we're actually going to hit at here now on the podcast is a little more podcast topic worthy, where you are going to see these reviews and everything about what we think of just the pure aspects of the phone. But the way they launched both of these phones is very different. And I think we kind of want to talk a little bit about how we experienced the launch of this and how it's different and kind of the behind the scenes of everything and why it's so strange to us.
Well, I guess it kind of comes from, you know, we had the original Galaxy Fold.
Uh-huh.
And everyone knew it was going to be like a crazy, weird new thing. But obviously all the problems that happened with it were a giant warning for everyone who's going to try a folding phone from here on out. Be careful. You know, take
very
it easy,
careful,
you know, make sure everything's right, get your durability on. And because of this, I think we're seeing like these weird strategies where like they don't want people to hold on to the phones for too long.
Mm-hmm.
So both Samsung and Motorola have actually had like really short-term review programs. So I'm using the Galaxy Flip that I bought.
Yeah.
Samsung is coming to pick up their Galaxy Flip that they loaned me for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not a review period. That's like a loaner to like get your shots and give it back, which is not really, you don't have time for any evaluation. You're just sort of, you know, learning from it as you shoot it and giving it back. So I think the red flag is like when a company wants to take it back as fast as possible, that's probably a durability question.
Yeah, I think like a way to compare all of this is if we just take what we've been doing, at least since I've started, almost every single phone company has been, here is a briefing or an event, get your shots, you can make an impressions video about that. Probably after the event or within the next day or two, you get a review unit where everybody in that review sample is getting a unit, has it for about a week, and then has an embargo that launches. And the most important thing I think here is the embargo launches before the sale date goes out.
Right.
So there are plenty of resources, whether who you trust, who you like the most, you can do your research on this phone before you're going to spend $1,000 on a phone.
Yeah, that's ultimately what we're doing as a reviewer, is giving you our best evaluation of the product and publishing that before you have to make the choice of spending your money, right before.
But neither of these were like that.
Neither of these folding phones were like that. That's
not
true.
Even remotely close to that. I think Motorola had their event months ago, which was not a great event. I don't think there was anything like shady within the event. I think they just tried to overhype it, and it was just not a good event with all the strobe lights and everything.
Yeah, that's an understatement.
So that was a very bad event. But then we haven't seen the phone for a while. Then, so let's see, when did you finally get this phone?
It was in stores.
It was in stores before you got a unit, right? Before anyone got a unit, as far as I know.
It was in stores the day before I got, or the day that I got a unit.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you read about it, it's been very difficult to actually buy one. And it's kind of funny. If you look around at these stores, like, you know, a Verizon store, a Best Buy, places you expect to buy a phone.
Yeah.
And you call into these places and go, hey, can I buy the Moto Razr now? They'll go, what? Which one?
We haven't had that for 10 years.
Is that on sale yet? I don't think we have those. And it's been sort of a very, and maybe this is just Motorola not launching a flagship in a long time and
maybe
them being a little bit rusty, but yeah, this has been not a great typical launch for a smartphone. So you don't really see reviews of the Razr with like a week at least of using the phone as they get to stores.
And then the same thing happened with the Flip. Like, we even had a briefing with all three other phones. Then we had to go to the event to see the Flip, which was on a Tuesday, right? I believe it was on a Tuesday. And then the Flip came out that Friday. All we had was you literally, after the event, had 30 minutes to shoot the phone.
Yep. It was just basically the hands-on area, and now the phone's on sale, and nobody has any real reviews as far as I can tell yet. Nope. So that's kind of tough. I mean, durability we know is one of the biggest concerns with these folding phones because of what's happened to previous folding phones. And now this is happening again. You know, there's questions about the material choices and the hinges and some gaps. And I've read some people had really weird issues with the screens. Now, to be fair, I'm sitting here with both of these folding phones. Weird flex, I know. But none of them have had any problems for me. My Razer doesn't creak at all. My Z Flip doesn't have any cold weather problems. Like, nothing's wrong with either of my folding phones. Yeah. But I've just really started using them every day and putting it in my pocket.
Because we've just really gotten them. Like, even though you've been able to buy both of these phones for over a week at this point.
Yeah. So that's why the reviews aren't out yet. But I mean, you know, that video comparing the two of them are it's more of like a feature look of like, you know, because they did so many things different. It's like the cameras are different, the battery is different, the hinge is different, the screen is different, everything is different. But they are both like fundamentally the same thing, which is a vertical clamshell fold that we haven't seen before. So it's a fun, like, top down view type of thing. But yeah, they're just they're in a weird place.
Yeah, I think it was a very poor launch. You hope that there's nothing like overly shady about it, sort of. But
well,
like,
if you imagine, here's the other perspective, because I like to imagine. I at least want to be able to see everything from both sides.
Okay, and I like full on conspiracies. So
well, the other side of this is if you like work for Samsung, or any of their agencies or whatever, where. You know, you don't want to get fired. You don't want to get in any trouble. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do anything the wrong way. So when you have internal, you would assume, durability concerns about these phones, and you want to make sure none of that gets published before it goes on sale, then you want to make sure people only have the phone for maybe a day or two.
That to me is just like very off-putting and very... I don't know if shady is the right word, but it's very disingenuous. And like,
I mean, it's perfectly okay. They don't have to give us phones at all.
Like, they don't have to give anybody phones. It just, when you like, especially when you follow this kind of like cookie cutter sense of how every other phone launch goes, and then ones you're worried about, you're going to change up and kind of let people start paying for it before you really let other people start.
It's really
like,
that they had
it's,
all the same stuff with the S20 as they typically do. Yeah. And we went through that process and now we have the S20 and it doesn't go on sale yet. So we have some time to start working on a review. That happens right alongside the chaos of the Z Flip. That makes it that much more obvious. So, so what was the story about so Input Mag and iFixit and the Razer?
Yeah, that one actually, I think it came out this morning. It was like one of the first things I read when I woke up. But Ray Wong posted it, but I don't think he wrote the article. But either way, I'm going to try and condense this as short as I can because it's a pretty long article.
I mean,
definitely
it's a podcast.
Putting it
we got time.
Yeah, I'm putting it in the show notes. It's really good. Pretty much, they had purchased their Razer phone. So this, like we said before, there were some loaners out, but they took them back pretty quick. Mm-hmm. They got their actual phone that they paid for. And after a while, it's hard to describe like what happened. Pretty much if you opened the phone, it looked like the clear coating like above the screen was kind of peeling off of it. And the screen was kind of staying in that weird crease while there was like an extra layer on top of it. It was very bad.
It started breaking.
Obviously broken. Okay. Yeah. There were some theories that they had when they posted about it that it potentially was cold weather that did something with the screen. We're also seeing just all these other ones of like, the creak that's happening there's a very little on yours, but
I'm gonna go right up to the mic and fold mine in half. Ready?
Yeah, that's not that bad.
Nothing too crazy.
Ours isn't that bad. We haven't used ours as much as some other people, but and some people might be getting unlucky, but it was very bad. So apparently they had reached out to Motorola to try and figure out what happened. They posted an article about it before that, but Motorola's response was, cool, send us the phone. And that's not exactly what they were looking for, I don't think, considering this was what a phone they purchased, not like a review unit or a loaner unit. I think they were trying to get some information about why it possibly happened, but they didn't. So then their idea was, well, we're going to send this to iFixit. They're great at teardowns. iFixit always has like a bunch of really great stuff, tearing everything down, how to do it and how to fix everything yourself. So they wanted to do that, but they told Motorola that they were going to do that. and then didn't hear anything from Motorola, then heard something from iFixit saying, we're actually not going to be able to open this up. Motorola pretty much asked us to do them a favor and to not review it. So as far as I know, there's a small partnership between iFixit and Motorola, which doesn't have to do with like not reviewing their phones or anything. It has to do with the tools that they sell specifically for Motorola things.
Okay.
There's some sort of a partnership. So I don't want to make this sound like super whack from iFixit. They're like incredible. But so they decided that they didn't want to do that anymore. And then the shadiest part of all of it is Motorola comes back and emails Input Mag about that. And they're like, oh yeah, sure, you can send it to iFixit. But you know, I don't think they usually do stuff like that, pretty much. Huh. But after, this is already after they knew that they reached out to iFixit. So
wow,
it just has this like really not trustworthy, like,
I mean, this is why we have Zach.
It is why we have Zach, and Zach has also brought out a whole bunch of stuff about the Z Flip now. Also,
well, yeah, I mean, when you're unbiased and you don't have any relationship with the companies and you just buy the phones, then you can do whatever you want. Now, if Zach has a problem with one of the phones, he's probably, I might be wrong about this, but I doubt he's going to Motorola and asking first if they would like to, you know, correct anything or any of that. Yeah. It's like, you know, you're opening the phone, you bought the phone, this is what happened, post the video. And you know, if they want to respond to it, then
yeah,
feel
if they
free.
Want to comment on why things might be happening, but I highly doubt.
Yeah, it's not like Zach showed the video to Samsung before he was like, "Hey, there's no glass in your phone." Yeah, so if you're independent, you kind of don't have to worry about these sorts of relationships. You just buy the phone and do what you want to do with it. But yeah, it's tough when you're trying to have like as early access as possible, and it's really hard to get your hands on a Razr. The one I bought doesn't get here until the 25th. And I bought it on like the second day of availability from Motorola's site. So just going to keep waiting for that. So
yeah,
that's the trade-off.
This whole Fold thing is like, I'm so super excited for folding phones. I do think they're the future. I do think like if you just look from the Fold 1 to now the Z Flip, like the amount of improvements they've made is astounding.
Oh, it's clear. So I love that. I love that they've clearly learned from the Fold. Now I wish the screen was bigger on the outside, like I said, but like everything about it is better now. The hinge weight, it's tighter. The gapless hinge itself, I think low key, the people that work on these hinges are the most important people to these teams.
Probably,
that do the folding phones. Like we knew you could fold the screen, but now that, you know, the glass composite is getting better, whatever else, like the hinge is super important.
Well, yeah, look at the Royale FlexPi. Like
that hinge was rough.
It folded, but it felt terrible.
That's because they don't have a great hinge engineering team. So yeah, good for the hinge teams, and that's what's going to make these that much better. And maybe more companies need to be out there working super hard on their hinge to make sure they don't have any durability problems. So that's what we're looking at. But yeah, I just like that the zoomed out view now is we finally have multiple competing,
yeah, we can compare them also.
Yeah, comparable, awesome, similar folding phones to the point where we can now decide like what's worth nitpicking about versus what's standard in a folding phone. I remember when we first got that Razr hands on, I was like, I don't want to nitpick, but this is a 2-year-old processor and not much RAM and a pretty bad camera and a small battery and like all these things. And I of course don't want to like slam on all these things because, hey, you know, they finally made this crazy never before seen form factor. But now that we have a couple of them, it's not never before seen anymore. We're aware of what can be good.
Yeah, and start critiquing it and hoping that they use those critiques and not just critiques, but comparisons now to other competitors.
Yeah.
Like competition is going to make folding phones better. And now there's finally some competition. So I'm hoping, I think a lot of people on Reddit say like, I'll be interested in Samsung Fold 4 or 5.
Oh, I'm so with that. So let us sacrifice our thousands of dollars to testing the first few and giving our feedback, and Samsung's engineering teams going back and going, getting better and better. And I think that's probably about right. Like the Galaxy Fold 3 or 4 might finally be like that. I think I talked about it in the last one, like a 120 hertz iPad that folds in half, like that kind of crazy thing. That's exciting. So maybe we're on the path to that.
Yeah, excited to get there. And I think just for anybody looking at all these new ones coming out now, if us or any reviewers aren't really saying that it's a full review, it probably means we haven't had it for very long. So take everything with a grain of salt. It's probably something we've seen for like an hour or two.
Yeah, one extra step for accountability. If you're a reviewer, Just mention how long you've tested it, because with folding phones especially, and you know, people can breeze through a smartphone review in like four or five days or whatever. I get that. But with these folding phones, durability is such a specific concern with them that if you've only used it for a day, say that. If you've used it for a week, say that. Like, make sure people know, because that's actually something people are going to care about with these.
For sure.
Okay. So that's our little folding phone rant. Maybe we'll take a quick break and then let's come back and do a little Q&A. We asked on Twitter what you guys wanted to know. So let's do that.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
All right, we're back, and we have all your questions pulled up right now from Twitter. For those of you, if you're not following, WVFRM on Twitter is our waveform Twitter, and we ask questions from you guys a lot on there because we like answering them. So if you missed the old Q&As on the channel, this is probably where you're going to get your best shot at getting something answered here.
Yeah.
So let's start off. I have one from Jai right off the bat. Can you sit with the Samsung Fold in your back pocket? He says Samsung Fold. Let's assume he's meaning Z Flip. Yeah.
It's funny. I just showed this phone to someone today and he said it looked like a wallet. I wouldn't, I mean, you can.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, would you put anything that's $1,500 in the pocket that you sit on all the time?
It could feel fine, but there's so many things that get damaged in your back pocket that I would not put this in my back pocket.
I'm actually... I mean, this has nothing to do with phones anymore, but I stop putting my wallet in my back pocket altogether whenever I'm sitting. When I get in the car, it goes in my center console. When I go to dinner, it goes on the table. I've had so many knee issues and everything that part of me was like, it's not that I'm out of shape and don't stretch. It's because my wallet's in my back pocket when I drive for an hour. So I don't really put anything back there anymore, but I can tell you if I did, I would never put a cell phone back there.
Not the $1,380 phone I just bought. No, not yet. Oh, someone, Torch Atlas asked, has the Z Flip attracted attention from other people when you've used it in public? I actually feel like it hasn't. I feel like people just haven't really quite noticed it.
We were actually talking about this with Vin and Brandon yesterday about how it's such a radically different phone, and like so many people when they see it flip open are astounded by it.
Yeah.
But not like... the person has to catch you flipping it open,
right?
Or they have no idea that it either looks like a normal phone all the way open, or it just looks like kind of, like a wallet.
That's true.
A really shiny wallet that makes no sense. But like most of the time they see it in your hand, it's just going to look like a phone. So it's not going to attract a lot of attention.
Yeah, I showed it to someone today and they just looked at it like it was a normal phone until I started to fold it shut and they realized what was happening with the screen and they were like, oh, wait a second. Whoa,
you're
what's
really
going
strong.
On? What you're the- bending a phone in half, man. So yeah, no, I actually don't think it's been really... catching eyes that much. I think it's sort of under the radar, right? At least right now.
Maybe we should just go put you out the streets in New York and just see how many times you can open and close it. And
it's so
see
funny.
If people catch.
You know, it was funny when we were shooting RetroTech, when I was walking around New York City with like the 84 Macintosh and like all these crazy things. The number one thing that caught people's attention the most was the Dynatac.
The Dynatac?
Yeah. And I couldn't believe like so many people like realized what that was and like pointed it out and were like, hey, I used to have that. Hey, that's an old phone, man. Like people all realized what the Dynatac was. So yeah, that's just a sort of a fun fact. But yeah, no, this one under the radar. Okay, someone asked, which is better, folding tablet or a folding smartphone? And I'll pass this to you because I know-
Pass it to me.
I still want a folding tablet.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I personally like if you were to take the Fold and the Z Flip together and assume they were the exact same quality or everything, I would prefer the larger screen that gets smaller rather than the
smaller thing that unfolds to a normal size. Yeah.
I guess it's like the bigger thing that gets smaller rather than explaining.
Well, no, I'm with you. So I would rather have a screen that I can't normally fit in my pocket fold so that I can, instead of a normal size screen that I could already fit in my pocket,
but that's
fold
just
to just be
now.
A little easier in
easier.
My pocket.
Okay, yeah.
And I do get it. Like I mentioned this, I actually, now that I've been carrying this, I feel like it is a little bit freeing having a smaller thing in my pocket. So I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I understand. Like a flip phone, you know, the small thing in my pocket is a little more carefree, but I still love the idea of like an iPad mini size screen when I need it and folding it in half and just having a normal size smartphone on the outside when I don't.
Yeah, I'd be interested to actually try using a flip phone for a while and seeing what you mean by that. Because there are times every once in a while where I notice I'm like, I'm getting in the car and my phone's tall enough that it's towards the top of my pocket and leaning forward.
Yeah.
I feel it like pushing up against or something like that. So I guess just even having that couple inches of clearance might...
Yeah.
It might just be super beneficial.
It just drops right to the bottom of your pocket.
Huh. Yeah. That's nice. It's a little thicker, but yeah, I still think I'll always take, I'd prefer a bigger screen. If I'm sitting on the couch and I want to open up a phone and watch something, like I'd prefer a bigger screen that I'm then fitting
in
my pocket.
I feel productive too. When I had the Galaxy Fold, the original, I would open it and I would like send off emails and I would have like the two tabs going and I was like, I'm getting work done right
there
now. I felt pretty good about that. So I don't know. Maybe that's still the dream. Ooh, I got one.
Okay.
And maybe you can speak as a former Note user. What disappointed you the most about the new Samsung lineup?
That's actually really hard to answer because there are still things we haven't even talked about that they did that I think made it better. The like edge-to-edge screen, they like took
flattened
that back
it.
A lot. They flattened it. It's still a little bit, so it still looks great and it almost looks like it has no bezels on the side, but they made that better. So way less accidental touches in theory. I think the color looks a ton better. It's gigantic. I think one of the things I'm probably the most upset about is just the fact that it's not 1440 120, and that's just because I got so hyped before hearing about it, just assuming I'm gonna get a full-blown Samsung screen at 120.
And it's also like, if you spend $1,400 on a phone, like you probably kind of know what you're talking about. Like let that dude turn it on, let that person turn on 1440p 120. They know they're not going to get the best battery life, but like at least have it as an option. You can still do your out the box 1080, but that's something I wish. Maybe they can enable that with a software update or a firmware update.
That would be amazing. It
maybe,
would be also dumb that they wouldn't just offer that from the start. But,
yeah, maybe they can turn that on.
I'm actually really, this is the most excited I've been for Samsung for a while. I've always liked their phones, and especially once I started using Nova Launcher on them, I've liked their phones twice as much. I'm still so into cameras on the Pixel, which is why I'm using the Pixel 4 now, which is still to me like an all right phone with a great camera.
Yep.
And I don't know. If it wasn't $1,400, it might sway me. I think I think the S20 Ultra might be the coolest phone out right now, but
yeah,
it's also the newest.
I will say they have on paper and in every way, because I was going to say like, oh, they should do Google Play Edition, but you know, you can do Nova Launcher and go pretty much all the way there. They improved every single measurable thing about this phone, including making the screen flatter and, you know, everything about it, except the headphone jack.
Oh, man. I think we're just done with that.
So many people, I did have a headphone jack moment. Like, every once in a while, you just have a moment where you're like, the headphone jack was so great. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to living your life and it's fine. But yeah, that is the one thing that you can point to and say, I'm disappointed. But other than that, like, it's an expensive premium, like, complete phone.
Yeah, I think it really hit, it hit the nail on the head for 99% of the things. And the things it doesn't, you can probably solve pretty easily.
Yeah, my biggest curiosity with it, I'll say, is how good is this camera really? Just because
I'm really excited to see.
Like, we know the iPhone 11 camera, excellent. We know Pixel 4's camera, excellent. And, you know, Samsung's always, like, kind of, you know,
right there.
Hyped their cameras, and they've been pretty good, but they made a big deal about this camera, and it's 100x, and like, this is what the commercials are about and everything. So as I test it, this is going to be the number one thing where I'm like, maybe, is this now the best camera? I don't know.
It took first and second in our bracket
in the blind smartphone camera test. That's true.
I mean, it's there. We've always known it's there. Maybe it's just the line of work we're in that we're so used to, like, pixel peeping. But yeah. I think the S20 is amazing, and I think they basically completely nailed it.
Okay, yeah. So someone named Aiden Tech asks, how is the Z Flip for quick actions, like taking a quick photo, looking at a list when shopping, responding to a text, etc.? Is it a major burden? I will say it's been kind of annoying.
Really?
Yeah, just like the other day, I just wanted to, I think, just check my grocery list. And so if you're at the store, your phone's in your pocket, you just want to open it, check the list real quick, put it back in your pocket, right?
Yeah.
That's all a one-handed, like, whoop, whoop, look at it, put it back. With this phone, like, checking your grocery list is like, open it,
dig
unlock
a little
it.
Further in your pocket.
Then you look at it, then you close it. Like, all of this is like, it adds up. Like, it shouldn't be that much.
Can I actually see it real quick?
Yeah.
I've done the test with the Razer, and I find it funny that I have a very easy time flipping it with one hand, and
you couldn't
seem to do it at all.
That one was easier for me. Because the hinge weight is so stiff.
And that's easier for you.
Yeah. Because it feels more in control the whole time instead
funny,
like, flopping open.
So here's my theory on it. I can get my finger in there, no problem, and it feels really good. It feels way better than the Razer. Like,
yeah,
to definitely. Be completely honest. But the one thing the Razer did do is, like, when it's open, it's going to open all the way. This is, I'm flipping this open with one hand, and when it's getting to the top, I'm definitely having to put way more pressure at the bottom of the hinge to get the rest of the thing to be all the way open. Yeah But
and that's a lot less like the original flip phones of the past, where, like, you got it past halfway and it just snapped open.
Yeah,
that was, I think, really easy for one-handed use, where this, for me, maybe that's what's getting annoying, is I, like, have to really
use a second finger or a second hand, or, like, yeah, you really have to finish
or,
opening,
like, shift it.
But once it's open, it feels so much nicer.
Yeah,
and then the is just, that's that great. Feels amazing. Like, the closing the Razer is not quite as, let's see, yeah.
This is the Razer. This has been ASMR Weekly. No, yeah, I definitely think the hinge is better on the Z Flip, but it is a little bit annoying to have to
do
that.
Yeah, I would not
want
to do this. Oh, yeah, especially for groceries or something.
And here's the other thing. He mentioned taking pictures. At least the Razer, what they do is, if I want to take a photo, I flip it open, and then instead of having to, like, open the photo app, I just double twist, because that's Motorola's quick action. With Samsung, I have to open it and then double press the power button, which for some reason takes a little bit longer for me to get my finger onto the button.
Also, since the power button on the Z Flip now is the fingerprint reader, it's not like a super clicky regular power button that you're used to double pressing for opening camera on, like, Android phones.
Yeah.
Can I say Motorola's, like, features like the twist and the shake for flashlight are easily their most underrated features, and I can't
They're
believe
awesome.
Another company has never picked that up before.
I love the Moto Actions. That's been my favorite. They've had those forever too, since, like, the original Moto X, I think. For many years, those
it's
have
just
been
overshadowed by, like, fairly mediocre phones for a while.
The rest of what they do.
Yeah, I know. It's just shaking for flashlight is so good. I have a friend who has one, and he's obsessed with it. Whenever we're, like, doing something at night, it's like, someone have a flashlight, he just whips it out of his pocket and shakes it, and he's got it ready.
To answer the question, yes, I have found it, I don't know about, he said major burden, it's not a major burden, but it's just, it adds up over time.
Exactly. And that's one of the things we talk about all the time, where smartphones are like, they have these little tiny features that make your life one half of a second more convenient. And now that's finally something that's now adding
onto it. Yeah. If you think about it, like we have so many features built into the phones to make your life just a half step easier.
Yeah.
Just a little bit easier.
A little quicker.
Just to swipe up and it already looked at your face. Just like a little extra bit, like a saving you a half a second, quarter of a second here or there because you open your phone so many times every day. This is like making it a half step harder.
Yeah.
And it sounds funny to complain, but like that half step harder is like, it's going to add up the opposite direction.
So let's see. How many times do you think you check your phone a day?
Just
a rough estimate.
100.
100. Okay. Yeah. Wait, I'm going to pull out my calculator for this and we're going to see. All right, just 100 like, times a day, how long do you think it takes to open? How many extra seconds do you think it takes to now get to your phone?
Sometimes.
I also think you open it more than 100. But
maybe I do. But I don't know. I'm pulling it out right now and it's like a half a second process.
Okay.
So what's that? And 50 then, seconds?
So what, 50 and then timesing 50 by 365. 18,250 seconds. I'm terrible at math. What do I do now?
That's 600 minutes.
600 minutes.
If you divide it by 60, which is
300 minutes.
300 minutes.
So you're adding 300 minutes of extra nonsense onto your life every year. And I'm sure we did that math wrong and somebody's going to crucify us for
it. It's fine.
But Marquez is the one who actually went to a tech college. I went to film school. I'm not supposed to know
math. The point stands. We are moving in the opposite direction with the difficult hinges.
I've never thought about that. I say throw folding phones out. They're useless to me now. I'm not adding 300 minutes on.
And the whole thing. Shut it down.
Just
fire the hinge team. At the top here, Austin Evans. He wants to know, is 2020 shaping up to be the best year for Samsung in a long time? It's kind of funny you mentioned Samsung because Samsung makes about 700 million things. Like they make washers and dryers. Like I'm sure they're having
think of it like that.
Yeah, they're having a great year probably anyway. But I think the S20 lineup is the best smartphone lineup they've had in a long time.
Oh yeah, it's getting overshadowed by Z Flip stuff right now.
Yeah.
Hard. And although, like we mentioned before, Samsung's having a great start to the year because they're competing against no one because Mobile World Congress got canceled. So good
and
start.
It also, just this lineup to me has me really like, I'm really thinking about the Note a lot now because I always have liked the Note and, you know, this past year they made a smaller Note 10 and then a plus size Note 10 Plus. So are they going to do Note 20 and Note 20 Plus? And is it going to be even bigger than the Note 20 or the S20 Ultra? Is there going to be a Note 20 Ultra? Like, what are they going
to
do
with
the Note?
This is all I want out of the Note, is I want them to keep the style. I want them to keep their Note thing, but I don't want them to do what they did last year. Sort of. I want them to have two sizes because the smaller Note was an incredible size.
Yeah.
I thought that was like the perfect form factor.
Yeah.
But don't take away from the specs on the small one. I want two equal spec'd Notes. That one is just bigger than the other one. And I mean, like, obviously the smaller one can have a bit smaller of a battery because it has to fit. But other than that,
yeah,
two Notes, same specs, different sizes.
So that's not what they did with the S20 and S20 Plus, which decreases my hope of that happening. Because S20 Plus has an extra camera sensor. It has extra bands for millimeter wave 5G. It obviously has a bigger screen, bigger battery, but it's got a couple other things in there that make it a bit of a different phone for an extra $100.
I forget, did 10 and 10 Plus have a different camera array on the back or were they the same?
For the Notes? I think
Notes.
They had the same cameras, I believe. Okay. So they did mostly the same stuff with the Note 10 and 10 Plus, but the slightly different specs.
Yeah, man,
yeah, you want
Samsung
them to have
puts
the same.
Out a lot of phones. Holy cow.
Well, they have the S10 really Lite now.
They have four out already.
They have the Note 10 Lite. That was January at CES. They got all kinds of phones. They have the A series is killing it.
Jeez.
You know what?
So, might be their year just based on how many phones they have. If none of them hit top selling, as long as all of them hit top five selling or something like that, which is very possible.
You can sell a million albums if you make a million albums and everyone buys one. I think that's where we'll end it. The Samsung strategy of carpet bombing is for sure in full effect. Thanks for the questions, guys. Check out the channel for the videos we talked about in the show notes. We'll have all the stuff we mentioned, the interviews, the articles, all that stuff. But we'll get more into, I mean, there's a ton more for February. So
yeah, we're closing in on some of our last podcasts in this room also because we officially got the key to the new.
We got the keys.
I'd say if people are interested in seeing kind of like how we work through our new podcast room, maybe let's fire our waveform Instagram up a little more.
Okay.
Maybe let's start using that to do some updates on our new podcast setup.
Behind the scenes of the podcast.
Cool.
Studio.
What's the tag for it? Is it WVFRM I'll put on it Instagram? In
the I think it's a little longer than that. Okay. I think there's an underscore in there, but we'll put that in the show notes and we'll start to fire that up.
Yeah, follow that. Yeah. Let's show you guys what we're doing.
Let's get at it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching the videos. We'll catch you guys in the next one.
Waveform is brought to you with Studio 71, and our intro outro music is created by Cameron Barlow.